Hello, and welcome to another episode of Book Echoes, the podcast on making great books while making creative lives that work for us. I'm your host, author Connie B. Dowell. Now, I don't have too much to report on the personal writing updates because it's been super busy around here, busy with the kids, busy with my husband. So busy, in fact, that I'm again recording this the day before it releases. So I'm having to do this with the kids in the house. You can probably hear a little bit of noise in the background, but that's okay because I'm getting it done. Now, I've just mostly been keeping my head down. My next mystery releases in less than 1 month. So yeah, The Body in the Bookmobile will be out on February 25th. And there's just a lot to get done. But it's also been, like, with all the busyness going on, really a joy to get into that work. It's fun to lean into the a little bit more into the cute side of cozy. My previous mysteries, my historical mysteries, have been a little bit more serious. And this one is very light and fun and silly. And it's just been a joy to launch myself into creating that world and coming up with the quirky characters and the quirky places and details from the cat sanctuary / tattoo parlor to all the little diners and the interesting people that visit the bookmobile or walk through the library door. So that is what's been going on here. But today for you guys is another tips episode. And I'm going to talk about some steps that you can take if you have an old book on your backlist that isn't selling as well as you would like, and what you can do to kind of brush it up and get a little bit of life back in it. Not so much tactics to market the book like advertising or publicity, but things that you can do to make the packaging and the product a little bit more attractive. So probably the easiest step that you can take to brush up an old book on your backlist is to rewrite the book description. We're writers, so we write for a living. It is a much more different skill than writing fiction. So it's something that you want to practice. There are some books you can read on the topic, maybe get some critiques from writer friends or through online groups about your book description. You can also pay someone to write a book description for you. But if you are looking for an easy first step, something you can do for yourself that you can sit down in a couple of hours and just do one little thing to kind of spruce up your old book, that is a good first step. Now, the next thing that you can do, which is also pretty low time commitment for you, but is going to be definitely a higher cost commitment, is to replace the cover on an old book. Maybe the cover was never quite up to quality or tailored to market the way that it should have been from the beginning. Or it might be that standards of what covers look good or are considered desirable in different genres and subgenres do change over time. So, you know, even big publishers replace covers eventually to keep up with the times and keep an older book from looking dated. So that is the next step. Some more difficult steps you can take to brush up an old book. You can edit the book. So you can go back in. If you've got a nonfiction book, you might need to update some material. Or you can look at some of the critiques you've gotten and try to fix some of the problems, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, that you've seen in your book. If you're not really ready for a time commitment to editing the entire book, you can also spruce up some of the first pages of this book. You know, those first pages are the first things that people look at when they're considering whether to buy. They look at the cover, they look at the book description, and then they might look inside and read the first couple of pages. And so you want those to be the most enticing pages in the book. You want them to make someone have to buy to read further. And it's kind of a cruel trick that it works this way, because as we write more, we improve. And often the first pages of a book are the hardest to write. You've not really gotten into the characters and the setting and the story. You're not really living in it yet. So it's good to go back and spruce up those first pages before you publish, or even, you know, if you're self-published, and pretty much all of this advice is more applicable to self-published authors than it is to traditionally published authors. But if you're self-published and you're not happy with your first pages, you can go back and spruce them up. You can go back and spruce up the whole content of the book if you want to and have the time to do so. So now we get to even more complicated than doing some edits on the whole book would be doing a total relaunch. And that means a new ISBN number, maybe really, really significant changes to the content. Because you can really, the kind of a good rule of thumb that people throw about is, you know, you want to keep things within 10% of original, not too much change, to get away with not using a new ISBN number. But a total relaunch would be really rewrites, new cover, new ISBN number, and maybe even a new title. And a new title, if you felt like that might be, because this is an area where somebody might say, oh, well, a new title, that would be the easiest step to revamp my old book. But it's actually not. It's not just, you know, the time spent coming up with the title, but the fact that even if you change nothing else about the book, if you just replace the title on the cover and you replace the title anywhere else, it's considered a new book. You have a new ISBN number. If you're using an ISBN number, you have to reissue the book with a new ASIN number. If you're not using an ISBN number, ASINs are the numbers that Amazon uses to keep track of books. And it would require a new number and be considered a new book. That's why that is actually a harder step than it really looks like. And so it's considered a relaunch, a total relaunch, even if you change absolutely nothing else. Just changing the title is considered a total relaunch. Now, a further complication of a total relaunch. Two further complications of a total relaunch. One, you want to make sure in your new book description, make it really clear in the book description, in the way you announce it to email lists or social media, in your marketing, that this book has been previously published, perhaps under another title. That way people know that they might be getting a book they've already read. You don't want someone to pick it up thinking it's a totally different book from you. So you have to be really clear on that point. And the second kind of thing to watch out for is that if you basically reissue a book, you don't automatically have all of your customer reviews come with you. Now people can get customer reviews on an old edition linked to the new edition, but you have to, you know, to email Amazon and ask about that. So you have to ask for those reviews to come to a new book. They're not going to automatically do it. So this a total relaunch is a pretty serious decision to make. And even if you're coming into this thinking, oh, I just want a new title, it's a serious decision to make. Though sometimes it might be the right one. If the title is really not representing what your book contains or the audience you're trying to reach, then that might be a worthwhile step to take. If the content of your book really needs a serious overhaul and not just minor fixes, that might be an appropriate step to take. Now, if all you want to do is change the cover and the description, and you don't want to make major changes, do not do a total relaunch. It is not worth your time. It is not worth the headache of trying to get reviews linked for something. If you can get away with doing lesser steps in the process, that's probably what you should be doing. Now, so those are all of the options, all these different things that you can tweak so that when people get, once you've done whatever you do, advertising or publicity or something to get people to that book page, that they see the packaging they want to see and they see what's going to entice them to buy. But it's not a one and done step. It can take a while for these tweaks to get it right. It can take a while to find just the right title or just the right cover or really refine your blurb. And I think that is why getting feedback can be so helpful. And I would suggest not just from other writers, but from people who really read that genre. Even when you've changed, say, a title or a cover or a blurb, it might not, and this is the advantage of doing changes to covers and blurbs, because unlike title changes, which would require a new ISBN, you can change the cover or the blurb as many times as you like until you get it right. So you can tweak and tweak and tweak until you get something that is giving you the results you want and getting the kinds of sales you want to see. Now, on the other hand, the fact that you can do many of these things as many times as you want can be a distraction. It's really easy, especially, you know, we've all been there. Writing is hard, and it's not hard all the time, but there are times when it's really hard to get to the page to do your writing for the day. And it's really easy to find things like, why don't I tweak this blurb one more time? Or why don't I go and browse some pre-made covers or some stock art? And it's really easy to find tasks like these and think, well, gee, this is important, and use it as an excuse not to get your writing done. So the biggest caveat for all of these things that you can do to kind of improve the packaging of your book is not to let it get in the way of the most important thing, which is the next book. There's an adage that nothing sells a current book like the next book. And that's true. Readers really like a series, or even if you have a bunch of standalones, they like to see a lot of output from an author. And every time you have a new book coming out, it raises the visibility of every other book that you have on sale. So kind of keep these ideas in mind, but keep it in check. You know, schedule time into your writing and publishing schedule to do things like revitalizing your backlist and keep track of that time. Otherwise, it can eat into the precious writing time, which is the most important task. Now, that is all on this topic for this particular week, but I do have a question for all of you listening. So far, now that this has become a weekly podcast, I'm kind of alternating between some tips and some author interviews, and I've been doing this pretty much, you know, haphazard without a particular theme. So I just try to find something appropriate every week for these in-between tips episodes. But there's not a particular theme uniting, say, this quarter or this month. And that is going to be how it's going to stay for the remainder of the first quarter of the year, because I have already recorded all of the interviews for this quarter. Next quarter, however, that can change. So my question for you guys is, what topics or themes would you like to see covered on the show? And I'd love it if you'd let me know in a comment on the show notes. You can find those at bookechoes.com/show, or you can send me an email. And my email is connie@bookechoes.com. So yeah, I'm just looking for what you guys want in terms of topics and in terms of themes. And I might choose one theme for the whole quarter, or I might choose a theme for each month. And then we'll try this out for a quarter and see how it's going and reevaluate whether it's working for a quarter before I start recording for quarter three. So thank you so much for listening. As always, don't forget to subscribe in Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you are listening to this podcast. And if you have enjoyed the show, I would thoroughly appreciate a rating or review. It helps people find the show, and we really just like to hear the feedback. So thank you again. Until next time.